This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
You see that little fake punt return deal that, who was that who pulled that off?
North Texas.
Mean
North
Green,
Texas.
Man.
Seth Luttrell, man.
I don't care for that, man. We were just watching. I think that is dirty pool, man.
Really?
I don't like that one bit. No.
When a base runner does that?
No, I don't like
when
it.
When the first baseman just pretends he hides the ball?
Totally different. Totally different thing.
Oh, really?
So if you haven't seen the play, explain what happened. There's a punt.
And pretty long punt.
And the returner is there with another player, right? There's like two guys there. Explain
how
that happened.
So. No, he just, no, no. One he guy just, back, and he just okay. kind of.
He never moves his arm. He stomps his feet.
Right.
Kind of does this little, like,
makes
stomping
it
feet.
Seem as
the
if
other
he's
guys, the other guys walk away. You know, they're there. They walk
right.
away, and then he just runs it down the sideline.
He never signaled fair catch. He
nope.
just caught the ball and stood
nope.
there as if he had
as
fair
if he had
caught
fair caught it.
Do you know the kind of courage it takes to do
exactly.
that?
Exactly.
To fake that bluff? It's like having a pair, not even a pair.
But exactly.
It's like having a two and a
but
four. And you're going up against a set of aces right there. And
there,
you're just
there's all one
next
difference.
Time he has that courage, he should get blown up.
That's exactly right, even if he fair catches it. The problem I have with it is the fair catch rule is there for his protection. The only reason the fair catch rule exists is to protect him because they know he's in a dangerous job.
Mm-hmm.
You are taking the fact that other teams are being nice to you, essentially, and then profiting off of it. I don't care for that.
Oh,
that doesn't.
Silly.
That just feels dirty to me.
You're taking advantage of the other team respecting
that's
you.
Right. They're respecting
you're
the rules.
You're taking advantage of the other team being dumb.
Yes,
no,
I love it.
You're if those guys are running down the field, have your eyes up. You can
catch
see if the guy.
Sleeping.
And
cool.
then you know what? If you're wrong, okay, 15-yard penalty, and I just knocked the snot out of you. You just took advantage of their like.
I'll tell you what, the next time.
Took advantage.
That's
yep.
right.
Exactly.
Of a rule that's all about respect and health. So the next time my team's there, I'm punting the ball as high as I can in the air. I don't care how far it goes.
Okay.
You call your fair catch,
okay.
and we are going to crush you.
Good.
And I'll
I
get my
that.
My gunner thrown out of the game.
I don't like
there.
That.
That is bad, dirty, nasty football. No thank you on that one. All right, what did we learn from the NFL this weekend, huh? This hour's brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. Brock, this college problem,
mm-hmm.
and I do mean college, of having kickers that are completely untrustworthy, it is affecting the NFL. How is it possible there are not 32 capable kickers in the NFL? Watching the Browns and the Vikings, I mean, look, maybe it's an exaggeration, but I wrote it yesterday. It's like, this is the thing that's going to hurt NFL ratings long term. Not you know, Colin Kaepernick and anthems or politics or God knows what. It's going to be the fact that you got 32 guys of major importance that can't do their job. How is that possible?
It's not possible. There's 32 kickers. There's
they
more.
They just
than,
don't have the right 32.
That's right.
Right. Now.
Some of these teams. Well, look what the Seahawks did last year. What'd they do?
They said, "House
just $3 million. We'll save a couple million here. We'll go young. We'll draft a kicker in the fifth round." We'll draft him, the Minnesota Vikings. Maybe this will solve our issue and all of the ghosts that we've had at this kicker position that have come back to kill us. We'll draft this uber-talented kid from Auburn that just doesn't miss. And then he misses three times in the game. And you
terrible.
Got rid of the guy last year that was really capable and did a pretty darn good job for you.
So this is why I don't like NFL executives and why I think they're ridiculous. They make fun of kickers and punters as if they don't matter, and in the meantime, they do. Especially the kickers that win or lose games every single week. And once again, the NFL executive is just like, well, I don't know, man. This guy doesn't hit anybody for a living, so I just don't think we need him. Let's save myself $1 million. We'll give it to some D-tackle who's going to come in and play two plays every five games.
There's one organization.
But I don't want my kicker.
Well,
I can't give my kicker $1.5 million.
There's one organization that doesn't believe that. As you've said to me before, what would Bill
Belichick's had two kickers since coming to the Patriots.
Vinatieri and Gostkowski.
They're two of the three most accurate kickers of all time, if I'm not mistaken.
And now who, the Browns working out this morning?
Blair Walsh. Yikes. Like, why don't NFL teams put a premium on this? All right, so you want a few extra dollars. Give it to him. He's a kicker. Like, they score points for your team.
I mean, especially in this game, it just feels... There's so, I mean, we say this all the
this
time.
This game comes down to do you hit or miss
Buffalo
kicks
and
in the
Arizona,
final 30 seconds
Buffalo
of
and
every
Arizona
game.
Are really bad. Okay, Buffalo and Arizona are really bad. And who knows? Maybe the Seahawks, if they get blown out in Chicago tonight, people are going to lump them with them. And maybe the New York Giants because Eli can't play as well. But there's only a handful of teams that just are not competitive. Everybody else, every other game yesterday, is like in the fourth quarter. It's down to a possession or two. And you've got to be able to trust that position. And obviously the... I was thinking about this. If I was that rookie kicker and the game was in Green Bay, I would have found my own way home yesterday. I would have said to my team and Mike Zimmer, like, not selfishly, like, hey, you guys busted it for 75 minutes on that field. I don't deserve to get on that plane and bust with you.
Hitchhike?
I'm going to pay my own way home. I'm going to get an Uber for $1,500, right? And that game is on me, and it will never happen
again. I don't know. I don't think I would do that. I think I would be looking for another job. I mean, I think I'd be checking out
classifieds. But, I mean, a $1,500 Uber.
Or you spend the whole flight in the bathroom?
You can't afford that. The kid's a rookie. He's about to lose his job. Can't afford a $1,500 Uber.
I will now pay my penance to Uber.
He's going to save his money.
Speaking of quitting on your team, is this where we're getting in society? I mean, Vontae Davis is a strange duck anyway. If you remember him on Hard Knocks way back when with the Dolphins, like when they traded him to the Colts, and they're like, you're kind of a weirdo. And he's been kind of a strange cuckoo bird, right? He's been in his own place. But yesterday, he just topped the whole thing. Listen to his fellow linebacker. What is it? Lorenzo Alexander here asked after the game about his teammate that just up and quit and retired at halftime.
You've seen anything like that in your NFL
career? Never have seen it ever. Pop Warner, high school, college, pros, never heard of it, never seen it. And it's just completely disrespectful to his teammate.
Did he say anything to you?
Did he say anybody to anything?
He didn't say nothing to nobody.
He left?
You know as much as I know. I know I found out going in the second half of the game. Coming out, they said he's not coming out, he retired.
How would you have felt if one of your teammates retired at halftime of a game?
I cannot even fathom that. You didn't retire. You quit. You just quit. Don't tell me you retired.
I retired. He's not. He knew that it was all done, and now he's retiring.
You quit.
So, but every year, guys retire right on the verge of the season.
Sure.
They go through training camp. They realize they don't have it, and then they retire. In all likelihood, that's what he was doing over the last couple of weeks, right? He was debating back and forth, and then finally went out there in a couple games. He's playing for an organization that doesn't want to win. He's playing for a team that can't win. And he's feeling old and done. I don't blame him.
You're justifying this.
A little bit.
You're not really justifying. He was inactive week number one. He obviously practices. He's in the game plan. And once you put the pads on
the go
play.
So if he had done it at the end of the game, you're okay?
Yeah, if he had done it at the end of the game, yes. And just said, you know what? I don't have this in me anymore. I'm not faking this funk anymore. I'm not stealing these paychecks.
Fair enough. Yes.
But you do it at halftime. You do it in that 12-minute span where you take a leak, you get orange slices, you put a plan together, and then you run out. Like, an NFL locker room at halftime is something to watch. Or the college ones are 20 minutes. It's way too long. 12 is a little too short. Because you literally, if you got to go number two, I mean, you're in big, big trouble. Because you'd hardly have any time to do that. So you go one, it's a dash there, then you, like, talk to the coach for 3 minutes, and then you're right back on the field.
Yeah, anyone thought about that?
So he just went number two.
Maybe that's what happened.
Just hung out in there.
He didn't make it back in time.
Put on the street clothes.
And, I'm already late.
And then what did he do? Did he take an Uber? Like, he just quit, put his street clothes on. What did he do?
Because, like, you can't take a bus.
No, and
like,
I think
I'm just going to ride the team bus back.
Was that game on the road? Who'd the Bills play yesterday? I think they were on the road because they were at home week one. So then what do? Like, he just, I'm just leaving the...
Toast.
Just mind-boggling.
All right, what else did we learn this weekend? I watched a lot of the Broncos games since, they were your opponent last week. And I know the transitive property doesn't work in football. And even more so, it doesn't work in week one. Because week one's funky and weird, and you just see things sometimes that you won't see again for the remaining 15 games. But I watched the Broncos pull out a win in Oakland, but they really didn't look good for a lot of that game. And I don't know how I feel about that. Like, do you feel a little better about your week one loss now that the Broncos went 2-0 at home in September?
No.
No?
I don't even look at that. Other than the David Carr went like 29 of 32 for nearly 300 yards. Like, he just gashed that defense in that secondary that's not very good. And I think we knew that coming out of that game. Russell largely gashed him, just couldn't do it at the end. So, no, I don't spend a ton of time, and I certainly will probably do the least amount of that ever with the Seahawks team this year, because it really won't be about anybody else. It'll just solely be about them week to week, and unfortunately, it's really going to be about number three week to week without his buddies around. First half of the season, or the first month of this season, tell Doug and KJ and Bobby and at least some of his other guys that have, you know, battled before. So, no, I don't spend a ton of time worried about it, but, you know, welcome to another game where they were down in the fourth quarter. Case Keenum rises up and puts together a drive to win it. And Case Keenum, if your QB wins, sticks, Alky, is 2-0. Not just on the ledger, but yeah. Those are two Case Keenum wins.
Yeah, why not? Case Keenum's fine.
Did against Seahawks last week in the fourth quarter. Did against Oakland on the road yesterday.
He's fine. He's like a fine quarterback. If you've got everything else around you and you just need a point guard quarterback, I think he's fine at that. I don't know if he's going to win you a Super Bowl. Clayton's got that version of quarterbacks, right, where he's like, they're good enough to get you to the playoffs but not win you playoff games. That's probably what Case Keenum is.
Yep.
Like, I don't trust him at the end of the game when everything comes down to him, but to kind of play point guard throughout and beat an Oakland team like that, especially at home in September for Broncos, yeah, that probably makes sense. Text message. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Salk, a fake punt return is a dirty play, and illegal retaliation is fine. And quitting on your team at halftime? What's wrong with you this morning? I'm not really defending the guy quitting on his team. Whatever. I don't think
but he quit on the Bills.
Right. Like, haven't they already quit?
There's a little bit of a scale.
Isn't that like quitting on the Mariners season? They've quit. You can quit.
You know
the
what?
Bills quit. Why can't he? They traded away their best quarterback for no reason. They started Nathan Peterman, and they're going to go 0-16.
Seahawks, please do not sign Vontae Davis. Please don't say he's troubled. He's been in some other bad spots. Please don't sign a guy.
I need a corner
that is willing to quit on.
Who would you rather have, Vontae Davis or Josh Gordon?
I don't care how bad the corner situation.
Would you rather have Vontae Davis or Josh Gordon?
Sign me Kelly Jennings.
Stop.
Okay, sign me somebody truly off the streets from the Arena League.
Vontae Davis or Josh Gordon?
I think I would take Josh Gordon back, but he's got so many demons and fights his own disease.
Josh
I wouldn't do either of those. I wouldn't do either of those.
You have to choose one.
I would choose Josh Gordon.
That's correct.
He didn't at halftime of his game in sweaty clothes.
But that guy did it against the Bills. They've quit. He's just reacting to them.
It's the Browns, Mike. You see the Browns?
It's a fair point.
Anyhow, here's another thing I learned. That in the college football broadcasts, I talk about all these wonderful stories. Like these incredible stories of walk-ons and transfers and guys that have served in the military. It seems like every week, man, especially with rosters as big as the college game are, you have unbelievable stories. But the story of the NFL these first 2 weeks is Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Is it?
The story of the NFL, in my mind, what I've learned, is Ryan Fitzpatrick. Listen to the Harvard grad.
Hey, TJ. I got like two more because D-Jack needs his stuff back.
What is yours? Is any of that yours or is
the chest hair is mine?
Ryan Fitzpatrick last night. I don't even know how to describe the. He's wearing DeSean Jackson's sweatsuit. He's got it zipped down. He's showing all of his hamburger meat. He's got D-Jack's chains. He's got his
aviator shades.
Sun aviator shades with that big burly beard. And he is just rocking it.
Have you ever seen the Ryan Fitzpatrick cycle chart on Twitter?
Uh-uh.
It's all over. Have you ever seen this, Kyle? It's the Ryan Fitzpatrick cycle. And right now, he's at a specific point in it. It goes like this. Gets released. Gets signed as a backup. Starter gets hurt, and he gets thrown into the game. He plays very well and earns a starting spot. He gets paid. He stinks.
Yes.
He gets released.
Yes.
He gets signed as a backup.
Yes.
The starter gets hurt. He gets thrown into a game.
Yes.
He plays very well and earns a starting spot.
Yes.
He gets paid. Yep. He stinks. He gets released.
Is this now the third time?
He gets signed as a backup. Like, this is just Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Yes.
He's at that stage in the cycle where he's playing very well. It'll end.
Oh,
it always does.
Yeah, he's not a Super Bowl winning quarterback by any means, but you know what he's done?
Not.
He's come into a program where a guy eats his fingers. Treats women horribly, has been a terrible leader, and has been even worse in the community. And he's come in and says, okay, Jameis, you want to screw this thing up so badly, you're going to open the door, and I get to throw to Mike Evans? And I get to throw to...
He eats his fingers. The top transgression.
And I get to throw to DeSean Jackson, and I get to throw to all these weapons and have a pretty decent O-line? Sign me up. I'll throw it all over the yard. I'll throw four touchdowns in back-to-back weeks and wear D-Jack's chains and sweatsuit. And just have the time of my life. I think that's a pretty cool story.
All right, things we learned this weekend watching the NFL getting ready for the Seahawks tonight. The Seahawks were rumored to have been interested in Patrick Mahomes in the first round, late in the first round. He went, obviously, to Kansas City before they had a chance to draft him last year. Would have been sure interesting if I had. Because, man, this kid can play. He's setting records, what, 9 touchdown passes in his first 2 weeks as a starter. To seeing him succeed like this after sitting for a full year, unlike most of the recent first-round quarterbacks, does it make you think more and more about actually sitting a guy for a year?
Or is Kansas City just that much of a better situation
than
most teams have who are starting a year?
Yeah, I'd be careful just stamping it that way and saying this is the way to do it. I think it was super advantageous to watch Alex Smith, a gunslinger in Mahomes, and brilliance from the Kansas City ownership and Andy Reid, you know, who's made, I think, a ton of, you look at his QB decisions through his decades, he gets that position. But for them to draft a total gunslinger, an air raid guy that throws 99 and has an arm unlike, and I'm bragging about him in college, like I just haven't seen dudes that can throw it like this kid. And they took that guy, and you're going to be an understudy to the most game manager who can win games with his mind and a torn up shoulder. And you're going to learn the craft through that lens while never totally neutering your ability to just be a playmaker.
Yeah.
I think a lot of wisdom there.
You know, there is that. But the other side of it is how many rookie quarterbacks get to come into a situation where they have Andy Reid, 20-year NFL head coach, as their quarterback, and a team that was a playoff team a year ago,
not just because
of their quarterback, but because of the roster that they have, where he's got a running game, where he's got a guy he can throw to on the outside, Tariq Hill. Like, they have a lot of things in his favor. Now, their defense is going to struggle, which is why they're probably not going to win the Super Bowl this year. But in terms of coming into a good situation offensively, I don't know what else you can ask.
I will say this. This league is doing more and more. Clayton had someone on last week talking about this as well, that the league is doing. Oh, you guys had from field goals.
Danny Kelly.
Yeah, Danny on, who wrote about it, this league is just imparting more and more and more of the collegiate spread system into it. And I'll tell you who could totally break the ice more than anybody is this guy. With their tempo and their speed and, you know, the air raid quarterbacks, go look at their track record through the years. Not very good. But this kid's different and unique. And give credit to Andy Reid in Kansas City, man. He's playing to his strengths. Brought him up, taught him up, and, yeah, he's flying the first 2 weeks.
All right, another thing I learned this weekend, and I've learned this before. The NFL just can't help themselves with their blue blood programs. They can't help it. They have to make us watch Dallas and New York again last night. That game stunk. It stunk, and after a great weekend of NFL football, and there really were a lot of great games, I was glued to the couch all day, and DirecTV watching Minnesota-Green Bay, an age-old rivalry, and in a very interesting spot in that rivalry. I watched some of the Patriots and Jags. That was a really good game. I watched some of the Niners and Lions. That was an exciting game. I watched the Saints and Browns. That was an exciting game, and I was interested and invested in a lot of these things. And then, for the whole country to watch the crown and glory on that day, Eli Manning? Eli's done. Eli's not, first of all, Eli was never very good. Now he's outright bad. And the rest of the team around him, even though they've got some exciting players, I want to watch Saquon Barkley, but I can't because Eli's poisoning the television.
Well, what's really interesting, it's the antithesis of everything we just said. Everything we just said that they've done there in Kansas City of growing up and finding the next one, of playing to their strengths. The Giants went out and drafted a running back. And I think he's a super special guy, Saquon Barkley. And then they paid Odell Beckham, and they are just trying to do it still the NFL conventional way. He's up there checking plays and checking it down and just like, oh, put forks in my eyes. There's just no juice to this game. There's no juice to him in this system
at
all.
At the end of it all, did you happen to watch the end of the game?
Oh, and by the way, they draft Will Hernandez in the second round. They pay Nate Solder a left tackle. Like, they give in that position and Eli every opportunity
of
personnel. No.
But he's just not good.
He's just not dynamic.
No.
Arm's not dynamic anymore.
At the end of the game, like, Al and Chris are trying to talk about next week. Oh, we get the Patriots and the 0-2 Lions. Now, let me tell you, this Lions team still has Matt Stafford. He's pretty good. It's like, really? Yep. He was awful yesterday. The only reason the Niners win that game.
Great in the second half.
Not at the end of the game. Between him and his receivers, he had an opportunity to come back and win that game. Didn't do it. After Garoppolo threw what should have been a game-losing pick. So, anyway.
Here's what I learned, my last point. You think bad kickers can really ruin the ratings game? Not hitting a quarterback and being allowed to hit the quarterback changes the full integrity of everything this game's about. You want to ruin this product? Keep putting these guys in glass boxes. I don't think I'm overreacting here. Clay Matthews' hit on Kirk Cousins yesterday was as clean a hit as you could ever find. He took his head out of it. He put his shoulder into the midsection. He wrapped him. He didn't even forcibly slam him. If that was the Seahawks tonight against Mitch Trubisky and the Seahawks lose a game because Deion Jordan hits Mitch Trubisky that way, extends a drive, and the Seahawks lose on a last-second field goal, I'm losing my mind. My mind. Quarterbacks need to be hit. You need to be hit in this game. You have to. You will lose the full integrity of everything this game was built to do if you take that out of it. And to watch, I mean, truly, it was appalling. It was appalling. And oh, by the way, Anthony Barr, they made a new rule. This whole new rule is because Anthony Barr last year hit Aaron Rodgers, landed on him, and broke his collarbone. So do you see Anthony Barr yesterday chasing down Aaron Rodgers in the fourth quarter? Wouldn't even hit him.
Right.
Ruin this game.
That's what they want.
Go ruin this game.
But that's
game.
What they want. They don't want you to hit the quarterback.
Go ruin the. You don't hit the quarterback, you ruin the integrity of this game.
They want you to find a way in that moment to make sure you have your body under control.
Quarterback, protect yourself. You're a big boy. You put pads on. You're not Vontae Davis.
You're looking
on
at
your
it.
Team.
You're looking at it totally differently from the way the league is. The league is saying, quarterback, you make us all of our money. You're not getting hurt.
The league should look at the last 30 years of what Joe Montana getting slammed by Leonard Marshall. Then comes Steve Young. The league should be smart enough to look at the last 30 years.
But
and here
don't.
Comes Patrick Mahomes. And here comes Russell Wilson. And here comes the next young group. And here comes Sam Darnold. And if you're going to ruin the integrity, the very integrity of this game, and not let them hit the most important position on the field.
The league says, hey, we had Deshaun Watson was the most exciting player in the league last year.
He tore his knee.
And then he tore his knee.
Yes, in a non-contact run drill in practice.
Fine, but they don't want that. They don't want to see any additional risk to those quarterbacks.
He tore his knee in practice in a non-contact run drill.
It doesn't change the point even a little bit.
I'm not going to listen.
Of course you can get injured in any number of different ways. They want to take away as many of those ways as possible because they want their stars to play. That's what the NFL has always wanted.
Yeah, well, the stars have played for decade after decade after decade after decade, and they will continue to play, and you will continue to find enough
quarterbacks. I totally understand why everybody hates this rule, and I hate watching it also. It makes sense. It makes perfect sense from the NFL's business perspective.
Yeah, if you are so narrow-minded and you're only looking in the right here, in the right now,
Brock,
and not in the tail behind you for the last 40 years.
What's the number one thing you and I talk about on the show?
Quarterback.
Right.
Sure.
And they don't want theirs injured.
And if Russell were to get hurt, and I hope he never does, guess what that then opens the door for more and more conversation over the next months and
years. We would have to watch Brett Hundley.
For this season, sorry. Yeah, you'll have to watch
Which
Brett Hundley.
Which Hundley do they have?
Year.
Is it Brett?
Yeah, Brett.
Okay. It's not Todd, right?
Tyler plays for... It's
Todd Huntley. And Tyler and Brett. And there's too many Hummels.
I don't know. You want to talk about the integrity of the game, I think you've earned it.
All right, there you go. That's some things we learned. I'm not defending the league. I'm just saying that's their thinking.
Oh, I know
I get that it's not
super
fun
narrow-minded.
To watch.
You're a league suit sellout.
Why don't you go work on Park Avenue? Wicky's here in a houseboat. Let him have your place up in off the
Do
lake.
Do I get
and
the 10 mil a year?
Park Ave.
Do I get the 10
sure.
mil a year?
Oh. You wouldn't do it.
Find a way. You don't think I would do that for 10 mil a year?
You couldn't sell out.
What are you talking about? You don't think I'd go work for the NFL for 10 mil a year?
Do you live in New York City for 10 mil a year?
Yes. No, of course I would.
No, you wouldn't do it.
Yes.
You couldn't do it.
For 10 mil a year?
Would you become a Yankees season ticket holder?
I'm getting 10 mil a year? Sure. I'll go to the Yankees games and boo the Yankees. Why not? Yeah. I'll go do that for 10 mil a year. Show up every day in that filthy pit in the Bronx.
You couldn't sell your soul. There's no chance.
For 10 million a year? Not just 10 mil. 10 a year.
Oh, you can be bought, huh?
What are you talking? Yes, of course I can. Like everybody else, of course I can be bought. What are you talking about? We were going to do around the NFL. It doesn't quite feel right after that, does it? That kind of was around the NFL. All right, so let's not do around the NFL.
Do you have any mean tweets?
I'm calling an audible. You calling an audible for me over there?
Easy. Brown, 24, okay? That's a 14-year-old.
Can we address this Russell Wilson story that Jason Lockenfora wrote over the weekend? Are you taking, first of all, is it available? And second of all, are you taking this enormous ransom for Russell Wilson next offseason? We got to discuss next on Brock and Salk.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Live from the Alaska Airlines Studios.
Streaming through the 710 Sports app and on 710sports.com.
Oh, man, the Seahawks going to have a knack for winning tonight. It's Brock and Salk on 710 ESPN Seattle. That was a little My Sharona joke. Sorry about that. There's the article that came out over the weekend, Brock, is this hour brought to you by Precor Home Fitness. I want to spend a few minutes on this because I don't know how much stock to put in it. Says Russell Wilson, the Seahawks aren't talking yet. Well, that's probably not a huge surprise. Seahawks generally aren't talking.
A lot of other issues.
Yeah, no kidding. They got other things to deal with. But Aaron Rodgers' deal would be up the same year. He already got his big deal from the Packers, who've committed to him long term. The Seahawks haven't. And as I've said a few times before, I think this will eventually end up being the biggest Seattle sports story of all time, what to do with Russell Wilson in this next contract. It is just a gigantic battle because I don't think the two sides are going to end up seeing it the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Throw in as a part of that what they might be able to get in return were they to trade him next year. And Jason Lockenfora added a little fuel to the fire saying Russell Wilson might be worth 3 first-round picks if you could find the right team that was interested in him.
Oh,
I know, right? It's at least got to give you a pause enough for conversation. I would ultimately say no to that. I'm not trading Russell Wilson for 3 first-round picks, but
I am so filing this one so far back. So there is so much to discover this season. All right, Bo down in L.A., the other L.A. now, he's down in Louisiana, shot me a text here just this morning. He says, I'm kind of excited to get to drive around and listen. He said, I believe this is a signature game and moment for Russell Wilson. This is where we get to see the true value of a top 10 quarterback. Even with all the other attrition on the team, if he plays to his ceiling, the Seahawks win. If Russell plays to his absolute best tonight, they're going to win. It doesn't matter what's around him. And Kirk Cousins, frankly, this feels, the more we talk about this morning, remember when Kirk Cousins came to Seattle last year? He had like 5 linemen off the streets. I think every one of his starters was out, or at least 4 of the 5 were totally out. And he had guys that could not play in the league that were called in that week in a ragtag of ragtags in front of him. And yet he found a way in the fourth quarter, and thanks to Blair Walsh, 3 missed field goals and a near fumble in the end zone that wasn't, and just kind of squeaked by. And then when the game was on the line, threw 3 unbelievable passes and the game-winning touchdown.
Mm-hmm.
So, Russell, are you, you know, that game-winning fourth quarter, now everything is on you, bro, everything. Other than your run game that I think we feel better about, he should, than he's ever felt. An O-line that he should feel better about than he has over the last 3 years. And you've got to just go out and will it. And you got to score 30-plus points, man. So there he is. So honestly, the story came out. I'm like, okay, that's kind of fun. That would have been fun fodder like in, you know, July or whatever. But I just file it
far
why
back. Does this continue to happen? Why are we going to continue to get stories like this? What's the? Because it's not just Jason Lockenfora didn't wake up one day say, I want to write a little story.
I think there's positioning.
There's got to be. So,
of course.
Is this just Mark Rogers continuing to spew his stuff all over? He seems to have kind of a machine gun approach to how to handle these contract negotiations. Like, he did the same thing a couple years ago. Rogers just spews information at anybody who will listen. Mm. Here's a little fun game. Call any member of the Seattle Seahawks sports media and ask them how many times Mark Rogers calls them. I get the sense it's nonstop. And I don't know that for a fact, but that's just the sense that I get. Then call Lockenfora and call Jay Glazer and call Mort and call them all. Like, is Mark Rogers just constantly? He only has one client in the NFL.
Is that his job?
He only has one client in the NFL, so he has nothing else to do.
He has too much time on his hand to deal with Russell Wilson.
That's right. And so it's like he's worked himself into a tizzy 2 years out of Russell's deal.
Yeah, this is his job to do. He's looking at Russell Wilson's next big deal. He's looking at Russell Wilson, the 3rd-round pick. Russell Wilson this season, who's making less than Blake Bortles, you know, who has won a Super Bowl and been to a 2nd. Russell Wilson that still has to hear, and I'm sorry, Hawk blogger, that you don't think there's critics of Russell Wilson out there. 99% are all positive. That's not true. Okay, there's still a ton of critics of Russell Wilson that don't believe it and want to use these next 15 games to really decide it. And if you're in Russell's camp, you're looking at this going, really? Now you're just going to decide on these 15 games with this roster right now, with this defense, with no Doug Baldwin now, a roster, Mike, that already could not afford. Okay, this roster could not afford a ton of attrition and injury. It just couldn't. It needed Bobby and KJ and Earl and Shaquille and Doug, and it needed its pieces that at least have done it before and needed them if they were going to get to 8-9 wins and be hyper-competitive week in and week out and competitive into December. Well, now you shred 5 of those guys, like put them right through the shredder. They're not even suiting up tonight in Chicago and playing the game. And oh, by the way, go get it done, Russell. This is all about you.
Remember, this isn't just the Seahawks evaluating and judging Russell Wilson. Russell gets to judge and evaluate the Seahawks over the course of this next year or so. And he has to sign off on the direction they're moving, or else he can just sit there and go, yeah, I'm not interested. Not interested in a long-term deal. I don't care what you offer me. Like, knock yourself out. I just don't really want
to
be here long-term.
And if you're John Schneider, to Clayton's point about this earlier this morning, as he kind of largely dismissed it, if you're John Schneider right now in Pete Carroll, this is not even on your radar. You got a paper due Friday. Okay, you've got a lot of stuff. You got this semester to worry about. You're not worrying about grad school. You're worrying about right now.
That's the problem with Mark Rogers, is he's not in grad. He's not in college with you. He's like the dude who dropped out and is just hanging around. He's like, dude, you want to go party? Do you want to go party? And I'm like, no, I've got to write a paper. I told you, I have to play. I have to write a paper, man. But dude, like, let's go drinking. Like, just because you dropped out and want to become a deadbeat doesn't mean I got to do the same thing. I'm worried about my papers. The only thing this guy cares about is one thing over and over and over again. And so you're going to see this machine gun scattershot approach to these little stories about Russell's value and mm-hmm. Russell's happiness and Russell's signing and Russell's contract mm-hmm. that I think are going to come, you know, at least leaked from him over the course of this next couple of years. And that's fine. Look, I mean, he's got to do
it. By the way, I don't know if Aaron Rodgers' agent's any different.
I didn't say he is, right? But I think Mark has nothing else
so
to do.
So the Packers didn't
plans.
Have any tests to worry about? Like, they got the deal done, so it's the Seahawks don't have time to worry about their quarterback? I don't follow the whole premise.
Yeah, I would say that the Packers, the whole thing revolves around one guy in one position, and he has that kind of leverage, because when he's been out, it's been a
but
disaster.
Mark Rogers
what would
wants
the Seahawks,
the Seahawks
be without Russell Wilson?
They want the Seahawks to pay Russell as if that's the case also.
Yep.
Does he deserve?
And it is the case also.
Is it? Does the whole
What's
thing
What's around Russell Wilson?
Huh?
What's around Russell Wilson? He is the only guy.
It's not that, though. It's the way they set up their program. The Seahawks are not setting things up to orbit Russell Wilson in the way he is. The Packers have built an entire team around Aaron Rodgers and saying, you're the only one who can succeed in this team. In this team environment, it's Aaron Rodgers, you are the sun, the moon, and the stars, and we're going to set up everything around you.
Do you think the Seahawks view Russell Wilson the same way?
I don't think they view the game the same way as that. I honestly think I know that John comes from Green Bay and this and that.
I think it's a philosophical difference of an offensive-minded head coach, and Mike McCarthy, that has to have Aaron, has to have that position or you're totally doomed. In a Pete Carroll, and you'll hear this from Booger McFarland in 20 minutes. We taped the interview early this morning. You'll hear it from Booger as he sat down with Pete Carroll yesterday. You know, Pete Carroll's program has never just been for 6-plus years about the quarterback. It's just not. It's been about defense and paying it, and that roster that's been, you know, as you divvy up the dollars, as defensive heavy as any over the 6-year run. And now, granted, this year they finally draft a running back in the first round. Now they pay Tyler Lockett. Now they pay Dwayne Brown. Now they've tried to at least stabilize that side a little bit. But I think from a philosophical program build, that one in Green Bay has been squarely around one guy. And this one, because Pete is going to want to be shared wealth and be a defense run game, even though that's been problematic.
The New York Giants call you and say, we're going to give you 3 first-round picks for Russell Wilson at the end of this season. Are you listening?
No.
You're not listening?
Am I listening? Yeah, I'm listening. I'm not doing. When you have that, it's what Graz says all the time. These programs that tire of winning, Detroit Lions, of Jim Caldwell actually taking you to the playoffs and winning. These programs that tire of winning, San Francisco 49ers or Jim Harbaugh, you tire of
what
winning.
If you go 5-11
You focus
this year?
On all of the other things
what
when
if you,
you
go
have
5-11
You go 5-11 this year. It won't be about number 3. You go 5-11 this year because your defense.
But you won't
be
tired of winning at that point. You will have gone, you know, 9-7 and then 5-3 or 5-11.
Mm-hmm.
Are you having the conversation?
I'm having other conversations. I'm having coaching staff. I think at that point, coaching staff said, you know, conversations have to come about, right? Team Bill, how all of this whole picture looks. But if you're
going to bring in an entirely new coaching staff, if that's what you're talking about, there's a decent chance that they don't value Russell Wilson the same way. Like, if you're making that kind of
Are
change,
you sure?
I said there's a chance. Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Because you just said there's some like the Packers that are going to want to build it around a more mm-hmm. traditional quarterback. I think you have to at least be considering open-minded to anything. 3 first-round picks is an enormous haul that can completely change the way your franchise is built. I'm not saying that that's a good deal and that I say a yes to it, but my ears are definitely open if you're talking that kind of bounty
for
anybody.
I'm not ready for that graduate right. school conversation.
Well, don't worry. Mark's going to keep calling everybody and making sure that it's in the news, so I'm sure we'll have a few more opportunities to discuss. We'll talk to Booger McFarland coming up here in 20 minutes. Good news, bad news, no news. First, don't worry, the Mariners were playing this weekend. It's next on Brock and Salk.
Good news, bad news, no news. Now, here's Brock and Salk.
Monday Night Football tonight. Seahawks will be underway. Game, of course, will be here on 710 ESPN Seattle. That means if you want to hear the Mariners, they will be over on AM 770 KTTH and the 770 app, which you can go download and you can hear the Mariners game in its entirety. Seahawks and Bears 5:30 kick. On 710. What's in the news?
Good news, bad news, no news.
The Huskies held steady at number 11 in the country after beating Utah 21-7.
I thought they were number 10.
The coaches poll 11? I think the AP poll they're 10. They did not move.
Kyle looks at whichever poll has them lower ranked.
Yeah, that's
all. He goes with that one.
Yeah, for sure. Game was 21. Game was 21-14 as well. I mean, it's 21-20.
It's 21-7.
21-20. That's no news. No news. Where you sit right now, there's going to be a ton of movement in front of you.
Oh, it's a tie. Sorry.
That's okay. Yeah. So there, yeah, I think 10th is appropriate. Sitting there at 2-1, you're still ahead of a bunch of 3-0 teams. There's still everything in front of you. ASU, I cannot believe they're 19-point favorites over ASU. Mm. And then, oh, by the way, BYU comes in, who's number 25 in the polls after beating Wisconsin. And I just look at this schedule, man. It's going to be a dogfight every single week. Cal is much better than they've ever been. Wazoo is 3-0. Like, there, UCLA down there is probably one that, you know, if you just show up and play your game, you know, you should win that by a couple scores. Yeah. But the next couple weeks, ASU and BYU should help them. If they win those, they're sitting there 3-1.
But the problem they have is that every week they're going to win and lose round.
I don't know about that.
I think it's going to happen. Other than the week they play Stanford.
Yep.
I think the Pac-12 is just in a really, really bad spot. However, I got to say thank you to Larry Scott. He saved me money once again this weekend. My annual call to DirecTV where I say, hey, I'd like to order the Pac-12 network. And they say, well, we don't get the Pac-12 network, but here's what we'd like to offer you. We'd like to give you a discount on your NFL package and a discount on your HBO and a discount on this. And they saved me like $200 last night. So thank you, as always, Larry Scott. I appreciate your ineptitude.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Benefits me.
The Mariners won 3-4 over the Angels this weekend.
Nearly swept them. Had a chance yesterday to sweep them away and get to 6.5 back of Oakland with 13 to go. Now you're 7.5 with 13 to go, and you're going to face the Astros for the next 3 days in Houston. Hey, by the way, last time you were in Houston, you took all 4 from them, so you match up well with them.
Yeah.
I'm still watching. Wade LeBlanc's going to get the ball tonight. Unlike, you know, some, I'm still watching them.
Marco go looked Mariners. Good yesterday.
Marco looked pretty good.
Yeah, it's good to see Marco look good.
Erasmo was pretty good. Yeah. Eddie Diaz got his 55th save. He's now tied for third with Smoltz. So he's got his opportunity to do what I said he's going to do, and that's be number 2 all time.
I understand they made it through the entire weekend without fighting anybody on their own team. So good for them.
No news. Good news.
Good news, bad news.
No news.
No news.
No news.
I said they quit on him. They didn't quit. They took 3-4. They did not fully quit.
Well, the Angels have already quit. It's hard when two quitters are going after each other. This is like Vontae Davis taking on T-Man after he quit in his radio show. Like, they all quit. What's the difference? Somebody has to lose.
You're hot today. Isn't he hot today, Liz?
Super hot.
Love it. So hot. Coming in hot.
Just don't tell me there's news. They quit. Okay. I don't appreciate that team quit. It bothers me. Sorry.
Get them out of your mouth.
My bad. I wish the Mariners hadn't quit on their season.
Get the Mariners' name out your mouth.
I wish the players themselves hadn't quit.
Next.
Wazoo improved to 3-0 with a 35-point win over Eastern.
How about just 4.5-point favorites? How about if I told you 4 weeks ago we were going to sit here near the end of September, USC was going to be 1-2, fall flat on their face, lose badly down in Texas, Black Saturday for the Pac-12 conference. UCLA loses enormously to Fresno. ASU loses to San Diego State, and yeah, USC's not competitive down in Austin. Bad weekend for the conference. But if I told you the Cougs would be 3-0, USC would be 1-2, and by the way, the Cougs would only be 4.5-point underdogs Friday night.
Yeah, you would tell me then that I would probably guess that the Cougs had played 3 schools that aren't very good.
Yeah, but they didn't beat them by a touchdown or two. No. They thrashed them. Their QB, Mr. Minshew, has been awesome. Their defense has been super solid.
And Kyle, what was the vibe out there?
Oh, it was a great vibe because it was Eastern, so there was a packed house, great fans on both sides.
Okay.
Gardner Minshew, he's a breath of fresh air. You love Luke Falk, but just like Jake Browning, after you watch the same quarterback for 4 years, you start to be like, oh, yeah, I've seen him do this. I know what he'll do here. Minshew plants his foot, balls out, pushes the ball downfield. It's a breath of fresh air. It's kind of fun to watch.
So you saw the picture of Minshew, right?
Yeah, I did see it.
He's the Mississippi mustache.
Yeah.
Great stash.
He's got some some juice.
How would you characterize that look right there?
How would I characterize that?
He's got a little Baker to him.
He's missing a bro tank.
Is he like doing a Ryan Fitzpatrick look?
He looks like all my friends in Vegas.
He's in short shorts, and that's it, with a weight belt over his shoulder. Yeah. He's got the Richard Simmons headband on and wristband. Solid. It'd be one heck of a story, wouldn't it? After everything when they went through this offseason, it would be one heck of a story.
Let's see what happens when they play like an actual
Division
I team.
I'll see him.
Yeah.
Good news, bad news, no news.
Michael Kendricks has been suspended by the NFL but can play for the Seahawks during the appeal.
Perfect. Good news.
Good news. They need him.
I guess he's going to be here for like two weeks.
For how many
man.
Games? Yeah, we going over under 1.5.
How long does the appeal? Can he appeal this thing for at least 2 weeks so he can play for 2 weeks till KJ and Bobby are healthy, and then they'll never hear from him again?
Can I give you some clarification from an NFL official, by the way, as far as the helmet? We were talking earlier and didn't know the rules as far as how many guys get helmets.
Okay, what's the deal?
So I got this text. Appreciate it. Let's see. Communications from the sidelines to the player on the field. Only one at a time, as we talked about. Okay. But he has a green dot on the back of his helmet. Only one green dot helmet is on the field at any given time. So swapping them out quickly is not easy, especially against an up-tempo team. So only one of the live helmets. So I bet you Calitro's got one that has the stuff in it, one that doesn't. Kendricks has one that has one.
But
one
I thought
that
they
doesn't.
Could only use one helmet all
they
year.
They can only use... Oh, no. You can have multiple helmets.
You can?
Yes.
Then why can't
you
they
can
change
use
out...
one color. Only one color of helmet.
Why?
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
Yes.
You can have multiple helmets, but you can't change the color?
Right.
Why?
Eh,
what do you mean,
right?
Eh? Don't eh me. Why?
Rules.
I thought the whole rule is that you had to use one helmet the whole year.
A player had to use just one helmet? So
well, then why
Luke
can't they have five
helmet?
Helmets with different colors? Why can't the Seahawks wear their throwbacks?
They got lots of helmets there. Over on the sideline, they got a whole bin that's full of helmets.
Really?
Yeah.
It's if one a lot gets, of space.
If one gets cracked, if one has issues,
like
if a face
rack,
mask
like,
breaks.
That's a lot of space.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that doesn't
but
make any
isn't
sense.
The NFL sticklers about the one helmet a year thing?
Yeah,
that's
one
what
helmet.
I just said. Brock said no.
One helmet color. You can only have one helmet color.
You can only have one color helmet, but right. You can have many
what?
Helmets?
Sure.
Brooke, this is insane.
Yeah, silly.
This
it's about safety, Mike.
Yes.
Wait a minute.
It's about money.
So you think that's that during this game, KJ Wright has, or Austin Calitro has two helmets and he puts them on depending on who's coming into the game?
Yeah.
No way.
Can he wear them at the
no
same
chance.
Time?
There's no way.
Two helmets like, was it
no
Kelso?
Yeah. So hold on.
Kelso that had the two
So
helmets?
You're telling me, so just make sure I understand. You're telling me that Calitro goes out there for the first series and Michael Kendricks is wearing the green whatever. But some point during that series, it may be that Kendricks comes off for a safety.
Yeah.
Then what happens to Calitro can't run to the sideline, get a new helmet, and run back
oh,
out?
Oh, sure he can. Sure.
No, he can't. Not in that one play. Yeah, he'd have to come out.
Oh, they got to call a timeout or something?
Yeah, but he'd have to come out and then come back in. I've never seen that happen.
Of them just switching helmets on the sidelines?
In one play? No.
Probably unlikely.
I don't think I've ever seen
that. Hand signals.
I don't buy that that's the
hand
whole
signals.
Answer to this. There's more to this question.
There's one player on the field with a green dot. Okay?
That I believe, but I bet you they're taking the transmitter out of that helmet.
Oh, absolutely.
And putting it in
oh,
the
no,
other
no, no,
one.
No.
There's
it's
no
whole,
way they're using
it's a whole apparatus
helmets.
And setup, bro. I've actually worn that. You can't just all of a sudden
right.
just rip out
but they
the,
don't have multiple helmets.
They have multiple helmets on the sideline. They have a bin that has extra
no,
helmets on the sideline.
I don't think
oh,
that's
get
true.
Out. Get out of
I really don't. The NFL said that's not true. This is bizarre.
You think that each player, there's no spare helmets.
So, there better not be. The NFL won't let them have them.
If they can use spare helmets, then why can't they use different colored helmets?
They want to stick to that rule. As ridiculous as it is,
no,
they want to stick to
true.
That rule.
I reject it.
Seriously,
okay?
There's no chance that's true. All right, I'll tell you what. Booger McFarland was really funny last week. He does a great job. He's always been fun on this show. He's a new sideline voice of Monday Night Football, and he joins us to preview tonight's Monday Night game. Next, I'm Brock and Salk.